in here. Podcast has now been started. Please remember, podcast has been going live and well for years now. I think we over like 35,000 downloads. That's 30 or 35,000 people who've got to hear the word of God all across the world. Just so grateful that it's been a success there. It's all free. You just go to gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Again, that's gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Free of charge. You can go to your, put in 10-minute prayer, 10-minute Bible study on your iPhone, on the podcast. You'll see it come up. You'll see my little face and just hit subscribe and you'll get them every single week. The one for this week has already been released, which was Mother's Day's message on last week. Amen. So let's talk a little bit today. Today I'm going to probably be a little bit more preachy, meaning if, you know, for those who don't know, preaching means that I'm kind of teaching and I'm preaching at the same time. So preaching and teaching at the same time. So I'm going to preach to you a little bit today because I believe that this subject that we have today is important and I should take the time to make sure that I give it justice. I understand sometimes I get a little long with it. I'm sorry, it's the professor in me. Mm-hmm. And I know I get a little bit off subject, but it's the teacher in me. But I believe, you know, God has made me both a scholar academically by the world standards and a scholar in his word, that I'm growing more and more every day. No, I do not know it all. And I never claim to know it all. What you find out is that the more that you think you know, the more you realize what you really don't know. Amen. And I find that to be the same. So it's always something that you can see more in God's word. So would you be so kind if you would turn to with me to the book of Esther, the book of Esther, chapter number one. And we're going to probably start at verse 11. I believe I have chapter number one, verse 11. I ask that you all charge it to my head and not my heart if I kill some of these names today. I've been working on, pastor's been practicing. I know my pronunciation, my articulation sometimes is not exactly where I would desire it to be. Sometimes I get, when we say in the country, I get the beef tongue, or I might slur a word or two, but it's not intentional. So when you see me, correct me. I would take your criticism as a positive light that you would love me and you want to see me do better in the space. Amen. And we're going to go forward. But it's not going to change the truth of the matter and the facts that I'm going to give you. I believe in working in facts and I believe in working in truth. Amen. You know, one of the ways you can keep yourself out of a lot of trouble is always work off the facts and work off the policy. That's one thing I've learned in my years of working in the different places I've been is, number one, always follow the policy. If it goes down, you can always revert to policy. And if they don't support their own policy, you got a bigger issue. If it always goes down, you can always what? Argue the fact. You know, my opinion is my opinion. If y'all ever notice when I tell you something, if I tell you it's my opinion, I say, look, this is Ely 101. That's what I tell you most of the time. And those who followed us and been with us for a while, you know that I say, look, this is Ely 101. This means that this is what I believe this happened. This is what I believe this interpretation. But if I tell you it's valid fact truth, you can take that to the bank and Google it. Why? Because I understand God has blessed us with tremendous scholars to even go to our church. Amen. We got a church full of people, got PhDs and master's degrees. So I have no time to be shucking and jiving. And I didn't grow up in that space and I don't have time for people to shuck and jive with me because my soul is too precious. People didn't lie to me too much. Oh, come on, somebody. They didn't say some good sayings to me too much. And now as I become an adult, you know, and the Bible says, look, when I was a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, what? I put away childish things. But now that I'm a man and I can research and read this thing for myself, you can't pull the wool over my eyes no more. And now I am in charge of my soul. We call it what? The point of accountability. So don't go on that, you know what, I'm just going to do whatever they said. No, you need to go and find and research what they said to find out, is it true? Is it true? All right, I'm going to go. I'm going to get off this soapbox. All right. So we're here sharing the word with you today. We in Esther. That's Esther chapter 1. I guess, like I said, I'm going to start about verse 10. Remember here, often when we teach or when we preach, like I said, we call it, we focus on three things. We give you content, context, but it's God that gives a revelation. Content, I can give you content as well. The word of God. Context, this is the background. These are the things that I would give you, I would try to bring to light. And then what? The revelation that's in your heart comes from the word of God. I cannot give you the revelation. I give you the revelation I believe God has given me, the word that he's given me. But what you will find out is that this word will find you where you are. This word will find you exactly where you are and it will speak to exactly what it is that you need to hear. This is why I can speak a word like this and your spirit accepts it, and your spirit will interpret it for you. So some will see it this way, and some will see it that way. But what? Yet all are right. Why? Because it's interpreted by the Spirit. All I do is give what I believe God has given me to be able to share with you. And then it's what? It's He that gives the increase. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know out there that it's He that gives the increase? Oh, yeah. All right, let's go. I feel my help coming on. And it says this. Let me get my stuff over here. It says, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, but his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner towards all that knew law and judgment. Now he calls upon all these different people here in verse 14, and then he goes on and says this in 15. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she had not performed the commandment of the king Xerxes by the chamberlains? And I think you said this, Mahuhan answered before the king and the princes, and Vashti, the queen, having not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king of Xerxes. I've been practicing. I'm trying. For this deed of the queen shall come aboard unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported that the king of Xerxes commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say that this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise to much contempt and wrath. And if it please the king, let them go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king as ushers, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives should give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying shall please the king and the princes. And the king did according to the words of Mahuhan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it shall be published according to the languages of every people. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I ask that, Lord Jesus, this word go forth on today. Lord Jesus, let it go, Lord Jesus, let it, Lord Jesus, not only be piercing, oh God, but let it be healing, Lord Jesus. Not only let it be soothing, oh God, but it also be fire, Lord Jesus, that it goes, Lord Jesus, to where you desire to go, Lord Jesus, that says that what it is you want to say, Lord. I know what I thought and intended for it to be, Lord Jesus, but you have the ultimate authority, oh God. Lord, I give way to my body, to my mouth, to my tongue, to my brain, to my intellect, oh God, to be able to speak your word to your people on this day, oh God. Strengthen us, keep us, Lord Jesus. Allow your words to come out of my mouth, oh God, and be meditated in their hearts, oh God. And we ask you, do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you go with me for a moment? How many of you say, it's more than it seems? If we have for our subject today, it is more than it seems. It is more than it seems. Would you put that in the text box real quick? Put that on the text so others can see. It is more than it seems. If you happen to be watching me here on, whether it be on YouTube, whether you're watching on Facebook Live or any of the various platforms, or you just listening by way of podcast, it is more than it seems. If you notice here in the left-hand corner here, I have a picture. And in this picture here, you see the picture of two carrots. We notice here that a carrot, we know carrot is a root. It's a root vegetable, amen, and that it grows as a root. Now, one of the things you notice here about this particular carrot here in the picture is that you see that one carrot here has a very tall top, and that it has a leafy thing. And when you look at this carrot, you say, oh, this is the carrot I would want in comparison to the other. Why would I say I want that carrot versus the other? Because I'm looking at the leafy green vegetables. I'm looking at the outward appearance. I'm looking at how it looks, and I'm looking at how it appears to me. And because we are people are superficial, very few of us go really deep, then we make our assumptions, we make our judgments off of what it is that we see. Are y'all with me? In particular, men are this way, you know, in that the first thing before we see a woman, we are judging her by how she looks. You know, first thing before she even opened her mouth, I already know how she looks. I've already made prejudgment. That's just one of the things that men do. God has made us visual beings. And before we get any further, we must also agree with how she looks before we want to hear anything else. You know, and you know, whether it be fair or not, this is how, you know, how it is. This is how the male species is made. This is our DNA. This is the biology that God has given us, in that we rather look before we listen. Oh, come on, somebody. It's going to get tight in here today. We rather look before we listen. We rather look before we find out and we explain. We rather make judgment off of what we see by our physical being than we do before we actually listen with our heart and with our minds and with our spirit. Mm-hmm. So it is that what we pass judgment on each other. We find out in the Bible that we find that way. It was King David who was chosen, not off his looks, but the Bible said because God knew his heart. How many times have you and I judged people because of just what we seen? We find out here today that we have a whole group of people in this country, that our country here is ruled by racism and people's judgment of people. Why? Just based off what they see, not knowing the content of their character, to quote the famous late Dr. Martin Luther King. Many times our content of our character is not even reasoned or found out until what? That people find time and they get to spend time with you to find out what it is that you're really about. All we see is what we see on the outside. And when they were looking for kings, people were looking for kings who what? Who appealed to them physically. That what you got to be reminded that what we see in sight is really what? Just a representation of your mind. Because what? We really don't see things. Your eyes itself are what? Receptacles. And your brain takes in those reflections of light. And it programmed, your brain is programmed that what? It puts those reflections of light together. And then what? We see what we think we see. Oh, come on, somebody. Did you catch that? We see what we think we see. Somebody put in the chat right now, we see what we think we see. Hallelujah. It's about to get tight in here. So now we go on and we go a little further to know that what you see is really not what you see. It's based on your mind. It depends. It's based on how you see things. It's based on your culture. It's based on your background, that some see things the way that they see them. Because what you are, you see things through the lens of your interpretation. We often have this colloquialism that we say that people have on rose-colored glasses, meaning that what? That they see things a certain way based on who they are and where they are and where they're from. And what we find here today is, as you look here at this picture, I can just preach a sermon just on this carrot right here, that many of us make our observation on people on what we see on the outside. We make our observation on people on what we see because what they appear to have such a thing. They appear to have the Holy Ghost. They appear to be winning. They appear to be happy. They appear to be going and doing all these things, yet we do not know anything about their character. We often see that people get to a certain age and they get to a certain level in God, that what we see the things, and then what happens is what? They expect that their character pulls them down to a certain level. That their character takes them back to a certain level. That their character takes them to a certain place and a certain thing in a certain situation. That their character takes them where they not have gone before. Hallelujah. Amen. Hold on 1 second. Preston, get out of here. Go. I'm preaching. Amen. This is the thing about when you're at home, you have your kids everywhere. But nonetheless, but here we find in particular that what? We have Vashti. Vashti was what? Asked to come before the king. Let's give a little background of what was going on here with the king. The king here had just a feast. I believe it was a 180-day feast. And at this 180-day feast, he was celebrating. What was he celebrating? He was celebrating how great he was in his own eyes. He was celebrating. He was having a party of how great he was. He was having a party with all his friends. And he was bringing all the other what rulers from all the other provinces here to be with him. And while they was here ruling, this king here was a bit of a drunk. He drank a lot. He drank probably way more than he should have. But what? This was his thing, and this is what he did. And in his drunken stupor, in his time of drinking and all this stuff, what he does is what? He summons the queen. Mm-hmm. The queen here being what? Vashti. The Bible tells us that Vashti was what? She was beautiful to look upon. She was beautiful to look upon. She was beautiful, so much, so beautiful, in fact, that what? She was, you know, a beauty queen. She was the one that you wanted to take your eye on, amen? And what we find here is that he asked her in his point of bragging to come before them. Now, if you notice here, they're having a dinner party. Like I said, at this point, they're about at day number seven. And at day number seven during this dinner party, they were just going on and having jokes and all kinds of things and all kinds of entertainment. And he was going on about how beautiful she was. And someone asked and said, well, if she's so beautiful, then bring her out and let us see her. Now, it's believed here that the Bible says that what she was to come out, he asked her to come out. Now, not that he gave her an unreasonable request. The request was for her to come out. But here we find that what she said that she was not going to come out. Well, why does she not come out? If we dig a little deeper, it is believed from historical and theologians that she was asked to come out in what we would call her birthday suit. For those who don't read between the lines, she was asked to come out nude or naked and have nothing on but her crown. She was asked to come out naked and parade herself, nothing on but her crown. I guess this would be the same as if you went to almost a strip show now. All right, let me put it in 2021 for you. So she was asked to parade. So can you imagine here for a moment, you being the queen and you were asked to do what? Here you are the queen. You have all these subjects. They have ruled 127 provinces. If you go back in chapter one and read in verse one, you'll find that he was ruled over 127 provinces. And in his drunken stupor, you know, he asked her to what? To come out with nothing but her birthday suit. Now, as a woman, I guess you can imagine this, how this would be humiliating to you, how this would be embarrassing to you. Number one, that this is your husband who asked you to parade yourself before everybody. Now, what is he thinking in his mind is that he's looking at it from another way. He's looking at, I'm showing you how great I am. In fact, I am so great that I have a woman who is so drop-dead gorgeous that all of you want her and none of you can have her but me. We find it just like today when we find people who are rich and who flaunt their wealth. This was the king's opportunity to flaunt his bride, flaunt her, flaunt all the beauty that she had, the magnificent that, you know, how magnificent she looked, how pretty she was. And he was doing what? He was trying to flaunt this before God's people. Amen. So here he was. He was flaunting the fact that he had this beautiful, beautiful wife. And he wanted everybody to see her. So he didn't see it as a thing of, hey, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to put you out. But when you're drunk, when you're out of your mind, when you've been feasting like he has for the last 7 days and drunk, sometimes your judgment is off. Sometimes you're unreasonable. How many of you know sometimes you can find yourself in a place of unreason and unjust? I mean, and being unreasonable and loss of judgment. So here we find that what she refuses. Now, this is right here. You find yourself in a dilemma. I often ask myself about this story, say, why does this story at the end? Because we know those who read this story know at the end that she what? She loses her crown. The Bible tells us that what? As a punishment, he asked the wise men what should happen to her. And then what they say is then what? You should retake her crown, take her away, and then what? Give her crown to someone who is better. Now, on the surface of this, you'll be asking yourself, well, what else would be better than the woman not wanting to defile herself? She didn't want to go out there and parade herself naked before all his friends and the other kings. She didn't want to see the things that should have been only for him in the bedroom for him. But now everybody else get to see her goods or her cookies, as I guess Sierra would put it. Oh, come on, somebody. But she wanted to cover herself. So why would this be a bad thing? Well, we find out here that what the king's wise man, he brings up some very important points that if the king's wife defiles him, the king's wife will not obey him, then it tells everybody else's wife that they don't have to obey them. Ooh. So when you're the head of a thing, what you allow means that everybody else can do it. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why we as pastors and leaders, we have to be careful of the things that we do. We have to be careful about the things that we allow. We have to be careful about the places we go. We got to be careful about the things we say. Why? Because I, as the pastor of this church, say a thing, or do a thing, what I have done is giving you unwritten permission that it's okay for you to do it too. Are y'all with me? It's going to get tight in here. I have just given you permission that it's okay for you to act the fool. I just given you permission that it's okay for you to treat your wife this way, or to treat your sons or your daughters this way, or to treat your husband this way, or whatever the case may be. This is why it's important. That's why I try to, you know, do my best to lead by example, and I ask you all to continue to pray for me so I can do that, because it's not always easy. There's some things that I desire to do. There's some things that you desire to do. But what? We have to be the example. We have to be what? The salt of the earth. Because the Bible said, without the salt, then what? If it's no good, then what? And how will it lose its savor? So therefore, what? I have to be the example. I have to be what? The first partaker of the fruit. So what? The bad thing here was, number one, it's more than what it seems. Say to your neighbor, put in the chat, it is more than it seems. So number one, by her defiling him, it was going to set a precedence that everybody else could do whatever they wanted to do. So if he didn't even want to deal with her, even though it was his mistake, he was still the king. Watch this. He was still the king. The Bible said what? Do my prophets no harm. So this is why even sometimes, I know some of us look at that verse and say, okay, sometimes the prophets be off. And yes, they do sometimes be off. Sometimes the prophets mess up and the pastors mess up. Yes, they do. And this is what? It's not my job to correct him. It's not your job to correct him. Why? Because I respect the office. So we in a day and time now, people don't respect anything. You know, I personally did not care that much for President Trump, but I respect the office of president. So whether it was Obama, whether it's Biden, whether it was Reagan, whether it was Bush 1 or 2, I respect the office. So if the man walked in and I'm supposed to get up, I get up. Not so much I respect the man, but I respect the position. I respect the authority that was entrusted to him, whether I voted for him or not. Are y'all with me? For the Bible tells us what? To respect those who are in authority over you. Mm-hmm. And some of us have a problem with that. Oh, I told you it's about to get tight. Right? And see, the thing is, we only see what we see. We only see that he gave her a bad command. And would I agree with you this was a problem, a bad command? Yes. But that's more than what it seems. It's more than what you see. So what we see here on the surface is what? A bad command. We see here on the surface that this woman is not wanting to defile herself. We see her what? She's repulsing the king. She's telling the king, no, I'm done. And he puts her away. So much, in fact, do you not know the women, the leaders of the feminist movement, use this as their calling card? Go look it up. They use the Bible and they use this story, which they misinterpret, because I'm going to give it all to you today. I'm going to do my best to. That they misinterpret, they use this what? As part of the women's movement. That, oh, she defiled the king. Oh, she told the king no, because she was gonna put herself out there, and therefore she stood up for herself. And they use this. This is how the Bible can be used for wrong, bad things. The same way people use the Bible for slavery, the same people use the Bible to try to justify racism, the same way that people try to justify, use the Bible to do whatever it is they want to do, this is one of them things too. Harriet Beecher Stowe quotes the Bible and the story of Esther and when Vashti pushes and repulses the king. Not realizing, number one, she breaks rank. Do you not know, whether you wanted to believe it or not, that God has an order? So she breaks rank and she steps away. But I'm here to tell you that it's more to it than what it seems. Okay? So she breaks rank and she says she's not going to be naked before the people. All right, fine. So they say put her away, and this sets up the story where we know where Esther comes in. Okay? Now Esther comes in later and we know this story to be good. So now I'm like, okay, God, I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Lord, I know that you take bad situations like this and you make them good. So I was thinking, hey, this is just another story of this. But let me give you a little bit more from a theologian point of view. Number one, you can read the entire book of Esther and you will not find out one reference to God. Woo! Not one. You won't see Jesus there. Obviously, it's Old Testament. And you will not see them say God anything. And I found that to be odd. I would find that to be odd. You would think in almost every other book in the Bible, you hear God is being referenced at some point in time. But during this story and during this whole book of Esther, you would not find him to be referenced. However, it was the way the author wrote it, because you don't have to find him referenced to see he is there. This is a reminder to us that even though God does not show himself there, he is still there. He's like scotch tape. You got to know that he's still there. Hallelujah. So what? Not one time do you see God mentioned here, but you see the hand of God throughout this whole story. And I would love to go through this whole book of Esther. This might be the next one we go to in Bible study when we get done with Acts. Amen. So this is not for today, but today we focus on Vashti. Mm-hmm. So now, what do we find? Vashti is what? She stepped away. Now, let's visit Miss Vashti for a moment. I was like, she is intriguing. Here she is, this beautiful, beautiful woman, which most of the queens have a tendency to be, because that's who they are. And yet, she knew that she shouldn't do this. But what we find at the same time, that Vashti is actually, as why he was having a party, she was having a party. See, things are not what they always seem to be. Because what you don't know is the same time that the king was having a party to show his greatness, she was having her own party to show her greatness, her power, and her strength in direct opposition to what King Xerxes was doing. You didn't know that, did you? I figured you did. All right, so then what goes on is, watch this. So now they go on, let's examine Vashti a little bit more, because she's an interesting character. Where does she just come from? Glad you asked, because I'm going to get it. So we find Vashti. Vashti, let's go back. Let me go in my notes here. Let me go to the notebook here or to the iPad. Amen. I hope that, are y'all enjoying this so far? I hope that you're getting some out of this. If you're enjoying it, say, Pastor, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Put in the chat, Pastor, I'm getting it. All right. So, this thing first seems to be a noble thing, right, that she's doing, but she's made this judgment to herself. So, let's go all the way back. Do y'all remember this king named Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah, we already remember. Y'all remember Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the thing about Nebuchadnezzar was a bad king. Nebuchadnezzar, what? He was bad, meaning that he was bad to the Jews. And he destroyed the temple, and he used all kinds of illicit stuff. And after that, there was another king who inherited the kingdom after him named Belshazzar. Not I dare you, Belshazzar, but Belshazzar. And Belshazzar succeeds the king. And Belshazzar one day is throwing a party. And as he's throwing this party, what is happening? As he's throwing this party, the word of God comes in. There's a holy decree that comes in that's put on, I think it's a wall, and it says that you're going to die. And what we find not long after that, King Darius comes in and he kills Belshazzar and he takes the kingdom. And while he's there killing Belshazzar and everything is going on, something interesting happens. There's a little girl about the age of 12 years old grabbing his ankle. She grabbed his ankle because she thought it was Belshazzar, the king. Belshazzar, the king, was her father. So Darius looks down at this girl, and she realizes that it's not Darius, but King Darius looks at her and realizes how beautiful she is. She's breathtaking and gorgeous. In the middle of them fighting a war, he sees this little girl of 12 years old, and he decides not to kill her, but to spare her and make her one of his daughters. All right? You know what that little girl name was? Vashti. So Vashti is now, well, she is really the king of Belshazzar's daughter, but now she's brought to the kingdom by Darius as one of his daughters that he spares her because she was beautiful. Sometimes your beauty does count for something. In this case, it spared her life. And we found out in Esther's case, it spares the life of many, many more people. I'm telling you, this thing is all tied together. It's more than what you see. It's more than what you think you see. All right, so now let's go on to the Darius side. How do we get to the point that Vashti is with Darius? Glad you asked. So Darius what? Darius has another daughter. He gives his daughter to another king because Darius was about what? Expanding the kingdom. This is how the kingdom gets to over 250 provinces, okay? And when they expand to get to 250 provinces, what he does this by what? Marrying families. I've told you all time and time again that marriage is not about love. That is what? It's a business arrangement. What's love got to do with it? If you look throughout your Bible, not one time does the Bible tell the wives to love the husband. It tells husbands, love your wives. Husbands, treat your wives good. Husband, take care of your wife as a weaker vessel. Bless her. Be good to her. Be kind to her. But not once did he ever tell the woman to love the husband. Now, as a result of this, because of the kindness and because of the husband loving them and taking care of them, then they have a tendency to love them. But it's a business arrangement. Even to this day, this is why when you get married, what do? You file all those, you fill out all those papers. They go down to the courthouse, and what do? They register in the court of deeds. Well, what else is in the court of deeds? I have a couple of businesses. You know what? You can go down there and look at my businesses downtown in the court of deeds. They're registered businesses, which says that what? This is a business. So why would your marriage need to be registered down there if it was not a business? I'm not going to get into that, but that's another day. This is why what? It's ownership. This is why Abraham, why Sarah calls Abraham what? Lord, little L. We talk about Lord. Lord, landlord means owner. This is why the woman takes what? The man's last name. Mm-hmm. It shows ownership. You put your name on things that you own. Even when we get baptized what? In Jesus' name. Why? Because it's ownership. It's showing them that what? I do not belong to myself, but I belong to Jesus Christ. So they said, who do you get baptized in? You get baptized in the name of your teacher, the one who's taught you. So now that's what? Ownership to show who is your teacher so that they can be able to trace your lineages. It's called pedigree. This is why in Matthew 1, you find out what? They put all 42 generations of how Jesus came, because it was prophesied that Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah and through 42 generations through the line of David. Mm-hmm. Are y'all with me? Are y'all getting this today? Yeah. All right. So now you have what? Darius, who makes him king. So Darius puts together one of his daughters, and he sends his daughter over to marry this other king. They marry. And the other king has a son. That son's name is Xerxes, the king in our text today. So now Xerxes is born. And I know I'm killing his name. I've been working on it. But y'all pray for me. So now Xerxes is born. And he has ruled the kingdom. So he inherited 250 provinces from his dad. Well, he's not that strong of a king. He's kind of a pushover. So what happens is he loses some of this kingdom. And this is why when you read in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Esther, that the Bible said he only had 127 or 150. Well, this is why he only has 127, 150, because he loses them. So in an effort, because Darius is just that guy. He wants to see what the kingdom go forth. So therefore, what? He sends over one of his other daughters to be married, now this time to Xerxes, and for them to rule Babylon and the kingdom provinces together. Who is that queen? That daughter sent? Vashti. This is how. So he arranges their marriage. Again, marriages are what? Arranged. It's about business. It's about kingdom. This time it's about expansion. It's about land. It's about power. It's about rulership. Mm-hmm. So what? They came together and they married. Don't even mean they liked each other, but they married. Why? Because the power of the business was more than the love. The Bible says it like this. For it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Because with the love of money, if you got money, money typically brings about power. And if you got power, power brings about influence. And then therefore, what you can get people to do whatever it is you want them to do if you have enough influence, power, and money. Am I preaching good to y'all this morning? Please let me know. You know, it's hard in this kind of atmosphere. I don't get any feedback whether I'm striking a chord or not. So the chats are important to me. So I appreciate those who participate. All right. So now we have the theme is set. Right? Vashti is the what? The great granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Did you get that? She hates Jews because her grandfather hated Jews. It's a pedigree. Do y'all not know racism and this stuff is passed from one generation to the next? It's passed. These kids don't come out the womb learning to hate people. They're taught that garbage. And then we perpetuate it in our society by feeding into it with other things. So Vashti is the great-granddaughter of who? Nebuchadnezzar. You think she forgot they came in and killed that kingdom? You think she forgot those things? But she's playing nice because now she's on that side. She's in enemy. She's under enemy territory. But she didn't want to be there. She just doing what she got to do to keep what she got to keep. Where have you heard that before? Sometimes people stay what? They stay in bad marriages and say, well, look, well, it's better than me being by myself. Or, yeah, well, at least he's taking care of me. So you find people ask all the time, why don't they leave this situation? Well, they don't leave the situation because they might not have a choice for a better situation. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm going to leave where all my needs are being met. Maybe you don't love me, but all my needs are being met. I'm being fed. I'm getting my clothes. I'm getting washed. I get to do everything I want, but he don't love me. So I'm going to stay here. Or do I leave all this for love? And love don't, as they say, as I think Halle Berry said, love didn't bring you home last night. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So all these things, I'm just asking you, you take it for what it's worth. I'm just giving you facts. I tell you all when it's my opinion, but these are all facts. Look them up. Feel free. I'm a researcher by trade. This is what I do. All right. So Vashti now is sitting here and she's part of the kingdom. So now, remember, she's having her own party because they were put there to try to rule together. So his business, his kingdoms, her kingdoms, through her adopted father, Darius, together, now they have this kingdom that they're supposed to be ruling Babylon together. Right? So now, like I told you, he was already a bit of a drunk. He was already doing his thing. So now he calls it in, like, oh, yeah, let me show you my power or whatever. Come in here, Vashti. Matter of fact, come in here with only your crown on. That's all I want to see. So we can show, you know, I can show my friends how beautiful you are. You know, because I got it going on like that. She says, heck to the no, I'm not doing that. In fact, bump you, I'm gone, I'm out, and she rolls out. But this is what I find interesting about Vashti. Let's dig a little bit deeper in here, because it's more than what you see. So not only do we already know now Vashti, we know her background, we know her pedigree. This should already be trouble. Because now you find out Xerxes, he doesn't like the Jews. Why? Because it was decreed and declared that he was going to lose his kingdom. So that's why he has a problem with the Jews. And this is why Esther is such important. Esther and Mordecai come to be very important characters as you read the rest of the book of Esther, because they were going to kill all the Jews because of Mahan, right? Mahan got them all twisted in this thing too. This is a wonderful, wonderful story, you all. You should definitely take the time to read it. I hope I'm inspiring you to read today. I'm only touching chapter one. You talking about a soap opera, drama. Tyler Perry ain't got nothing on this. All right, if it's really done too true to form. See, they Hollywood stuff to sell movie seats. Because I remember they done this movie before and they talked about it, but they ain't go in it to like this. All right? So now he goes in what? So now you have Vashti, and Vashti is not a nice person. In fact, Vashti hated the Jews so much. Watch this. What she did is, when they served her, she made them serve her naked. Did y'all catch that? She had all her servants work for her naked. Why? To defile them, to make them feel foolish. Not because she liked the way they looked. Now you think about it. If you hear you are serving the king and the kingdom, and they got you working naked, it says a couple of things. Number one, it says they don't care about you. They only care about what you do. How many of us have walked around naked, not just naked, I mean, talking about physically naked, but spiritually naked, and people have used us? Woo! Yes, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go. We walked around naked. It's more than what you see. Because for their amusement, they really hated us. They really hated our gift, and they really hated the position God has given us. They really hated that God was looking out for us. So what they did is they stripped you of what you had. Because number one, number two, they didn't trust you. Now, I find it strange, and, you know, we go back and, you know, you go back and you look at some of these old movies. I think about New Jack City and all these things, all these old drug dealer movies and stuff. And I'm assuming a lot of this has to be somewhat true, because they wouldn't be just making all this stuff up to put in movies. But most of the time when they had women and they had them bucks and their drugs together and stuff, most of them were always naked. Why? Because they said that they were worried about them stealing from them. So they would make them work naked. They box their drugs up or whatever it is so they wouldn't steal none of their product. How many of us have been working naked? Ask yourself. How many of you been stripped of who you are? How many of you been stripped of the giftings and things that you are? When you go to certain places, you can't use them. Woo! That's making you naked. You go to certain churches, you can't do that. Mm-mm. The king ain't gonna like that. King being who? The pastor. The pastor king of that house ain't. Oh, the king ain't gonna like that. So they strip you of it. See, notice the Bible tells us what? He says, in the word, he said, come as you are. Come as you are also means that what? You bring that clothing with you. I know we always look at it from the physical point of view, meaning that this person came in here with a pair of shorts on, they came in here with a bikini on, or whatever the case may be. But it's more than what you see. Coming with you as you are means that not only did I bring my bags, as Erykah Badu would say, bag lady, but I also brought my good things too. Because we all have gifts and talents. Because the Bible said gifts and talents are given with what? Without repentance. Meaning that what? I am talented, whether I choose to walk right or not. My gifts are to be used for the Lord, but I can choose to use my gifts for something else. That's my decision. Because God is a what? A God of free will. He lets you choose. He said, choose ye this day, Israel, who you going to serve. But for me and my house, we are choosing to serve the Lord. The choice is yours. It always has been, and it always will be. And if you choose to go to hell, that was a choice you made, not he. For he said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. You get to choose. All right, so now Vashti has people working for her naked. So do you find it strange or a little bit ironic that the one thing that he asked her to do is to come before them naked? So I couldn't help but think, what do you think Vashti is thinking? This is a way to humiliate me. Not a way to show off my beauty. Not a way to show off my splendor. Not a way to show off my gifts and my talents, but a way to dehumanize me. Why? Because this is the vein that she's worked in. Because this is how she saw things. Because this is the way she did them. This was the environment she came from. This is how she did things. This is how she treated the people around her. So what do you think she thought? That they were going to treat her the same exact way. This is why you have sometimes people who are scared of people. Because if you've been treating people bad for so long, you worry in your mind, are they going to treat me the way that I have treated them? Oh, when they get in power, are they going to treat me the way that I treated them? If I treated them like a bad dog, are they going to treat me like a bad dog? They are scared of the facts of when the tables have turned. And this is what we see in our country now. People are worried of the fact when the tables turn, where if I become from majority to minority, will the minority who now is the majority treat me the way that I treated minority when I was the majority? Facts are facts. I told you I deal in facts. That's what the fear is. That I've done so bad to you that when you get the opportunity to get revenge, will you? But my Bible reminds me, says Peter, that vengeance is the Lord's. Why? Because if I get vengeance, I might take it too far. If I get vengeance, I might go past where I should go in my rage, in my fear, in my anger. I may take it a little too far. But God, he knows exactly how far to take it. And when to take it, and how much to take it. So we got to trust and believe, brothers and sisters. I know it's hard. I'm not sitting here to tell you that it's easy, especially when you've been wronged and you've been stripped and you've been naked. Not to think, when I get my opportunity, I'm going to let them have it. But God said, nope, no, it won't be so. And this is why what? He's working those things out of us through trials, circumstances, patience, long-suffering, these fruits of the Spirit, meekness, love. Because everything in him, from what I see, shall say, I should do this to you. But it's more than what you see. Why is it more than what you see? Because Vashti really, what? She stops and fights. Why? Because she hated the Jews. This was not a thing of her just not wanting to go out there and be naked. This was a way for her to defile the king based on who she was. She was Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter. She came out of that line of stuff. I'm not grinding up. She came out of line because I don't think Belshazzar, correct me on that. But Belshazzar, I remember, he inherited the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar. So I can't prove or disprove that Nebuchadnezzar was his dad. I don't know that to be true, but it's the same line. So that spirit still follows. See, some of the things some of us still are dealing with generational stuff. Stuff that, you know, our forefathers never dealt with. And as my dad used to say, you're just kicking the can down the road. But sometimes somebody got to pick the can up. And it seems like this generation has decided that they're going to pick the can up and they're going to punt it across the next universe. How do we deal with that? It's more than what you see. So this story that we see that most people hails Vashti as a heroine. For women's rights, and she's this and she's that. But the truth of the matter is, she was selfish, and she was looking out for herself, and this was her way to fight against the king, because she wasn't getting exactly what she wanted anyway. So then he uses his power to expel her, because what we didn't know is what looked good on the outside was really evil in the inside. And this is why the whole story of Esther comes around, because Esther is exactly the opposite. Not only Esther, she is aesthetically pleasing to the eye, but she's beautiful inside, even though she makes a lot of errors. Esther's no saint here. She does a lot of dumb stuff. Her and Mordecai. They break biblical law. Yeah, they do. But even in all of this, God keeps them. And I'm here to tell you today that God will keep you. What I want you to walk away with is this. It's more than what you see. Understand the motivation behind what you see. Why is it what it is? You know, I've read this story and I've heard this story all my life. And I never thought about, well, why did Vashti just not do what the king said do? Well, first of all, I didn't know until I delved a little deeper that he was asking her to go naked. And I said, well, I kind of maybe can get that one. All right, so yeah, maybe she shouldn't go. But then as I dug a little deeper and I found out that here it is, Vashti, the thing that he asked her to do was the same thing she did to everybody else. She did the same thing. So all she was doing, see how God was turning this thing around? You see God throughout all these stories, yet you don't hear mention of him there. Because the Bible says this, what was first shall be last, and what should be last shall be what? First. He turns it around. And this is what you and I got to believe. We in this position now, but trust God that what? He's going to turn it around. It's more than what you see. So if you see on your job, it seems like things are going nuts and people are getting this and people are doing that, just know that he's going to turn it around. If you see in your family, it seems like this is going this way, just know that in time that he's going to turn it around. It seems like, you know, that everything just going and your finances are out of control and this is happening in your body. Just trust God that what? He can turn it around. Even if you don't hear from him, know that he is there. And he can turn it around. Motivation. Number two, always know there's always another layer. Well, it's more than what you see. We cannot be so prejudiced to the point that we just judge things as soon as we see them and not research them deeply. That we don't look a little further. See, I grew up in a time where we just kind of took, you know, they said, just do as I say and not as I do. But I'm here to tell you today that this generation, now they don't put up with that. They said, I saw what you did, and I'm going to call you out on what you did. This is why you can't be shucking and jiving now. This thing is real. And if you ain't going to be real, step aside so that somebody else who's going to be real can be here. Vashti had a series of issues. She did. But it was a long-standing issue. Why? Because she saw her father killed. And her hatred for the Jews ran blood deep. It was blood deep for her to hate those Jews. Along with her husband. So now they're setting up to kill them. So yes, she had to be out of the way. And then the miraculous thing that God takes the very thing that she was doing to others, and he uses it to remove her from the kingdom. So what are you saying, Peter? I'm saying this. Be careful who you're talking to. Be careful what you're doing. Because the very thing that you're using to try to get somebody else out is the very thing they're going to use to get you out. Watch. Mark my word. The very thing that you try to use, the very thing that they will be using to get them out. The very thing that she did to those Jews who were just trying to make a living, who were just working there for her, she had them working around naked. But then when she was asked to go around naked, oh, she couldn't do it all of a sudden. Oh, it was beneath her. And it was a direct order from the king. And because of her direct disobedience to the direct order, it would set up a firestorm throughout the kingdom if she was not dealt with harshly. So therefore, she was dealt with harshly. Brothers and sisters, know this. There's always another motivation behind everything. It's not just what you see. It's more than what you see. Don't get caught up on what you just see. Don't get caught up on what you see. Like, oh, they're doing this over here, and this is great. It's really just fool's gold. It's pyrite. It's just a facade, because what really is going on starts in here. What really is going on, no man knows. But we know and we trust that God has it all together. And you know what? It's going to work in our favor. It's going to work in your favor. And at the end, something good is going to happen to you. God bless you all. Love you all. I'm done. I've had no more for you. I didn't do too bad today. I only kept you like, 40 minutes today. I hope that this word has been a blessing to you. I hope that you got something out of this. I hope that you now have been inspired to pick up your Bible and say, I want to read that story, Esther. I want to dig a little bit more. Yes, 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 yes. That is my goal. That is what I'm here to do. Why? So you can read and know the word of God for yourself. I can share with you what God has given me. I can give you content. I can give you context. But it's he that gives the increase and the revelation. Not me. I don't give that. I can't give you that revelation. But the Holy Ghost has to give you revelation to you on where it is that you are right now. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us on this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, how you blessed us in this word, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, how you opened up this door, Lord Jesus, for us to be able to minister and speak to your people on today. And Lord, I just want to say I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And we honor you for that, Lord Jesus, for there's none like you in all the land. And we praise your name, Lord, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. I ask that this word, Lord Jesus, that it's more than what is than what we see, Lord Jesus, that people see one thing, Lord Jesus, but they go beyond the veil, that they go behind that veil, Lord Jesus, that they dig a little deeper, oh God, to say, this is what I see, but this is really what's causing it. This is what I see, but this is really what it is, Lord. This is what I see, but Lord, this is the root situation of it, oh God. And let us deal with that root. Lord, and I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to touch your people, watch them and keep them and hold them the entire week, Lord. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them in any form or fashion. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, and we give your name all the honor, all the praise, the glory, and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone, for we dare not touch that glory. But we know this one thing to be sure, that we walk by faith and not by hallelujah, hallelujah. If this is a blessing to you, just put it in the chat. Let me know. Let me hear a little bit back from you that if this is a blessing to you, if you learned some things today, some things that you didn't know, that you got some other pieces out of this. Amen. You know, it's our goal to be a blessing to you every single time. If you, at this point in time, I ask that you be a blessing to us here at the Safe House Church, where we here everything that we take here goes right to towards the building of this ministry. If you still like write check or money orders, you can write us at P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's Find the Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. If you do the Cash App, we got Cash App. That's $ Safe House Church, G-S-O. Again, that's $ Safe House Church, G-S-O. Or we do PayPal. That's paypal.me/ministry aid. Again, paypal.me/ministry aid. Those brothers and sisters, remember, you pay your tithes and offering unto the Lord. Amen. But we all put it in the storehouse, and what? We bless people here. Amen. So grateful. Last week was able to bless all our mothers with a $25 gift card. Amen. To Amazon. And we are just so grateful that we was able to do that. Amen. We're just so grateful, so grateful, so grateful. Amen. And also, I wonder why we had, I think it's mommy's birthday today, too. So I think today is Sister Taylor's birthday. So she got the double birthday, had the baby on last week, got to celebrate Mother's Day. I'm going to have to pray for Brother Jared. Amen. And now today is her birthday. So happy birthday, Sister Nicholson. God bless you. We're just grateful. So I know you just been having a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Amen. And I'm just grateful to God. Amen. God bless you all. I love you all. Hey. I just love being in this space. Amen. Don't forget this. Remember, women, this is open to each and every woman anywhere in the world. Please get an opportunity. Jump on here. Safe House Church. It is safehousechurch.com/women. You go in there. They have a closed Bible study, talk, whatever the case may be. Women just sharing with women and women being women. Amen. And there's a place there for you. Pastors, nowhere to be around. That's 100% them. Amen. I just support whatever it is they do, because I know we got good people over there, and God is taking care of us over there. Amen. And just God is just good. He's just good, 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 good. I'm just so grateful to him. Amen. On today. Amen. Just hear the wonderful feedback that people learned so much on today. I'm just grateful that God is good. All right. If all minds and hearts are clear, I ask that you all remember on this week that we still have our prayer. We have prayer service every morning. I know some mornings pastor be struggling. I ain't gonna lie. I struggle, but we were there. You know, we were there. Amen. Amen. Because I know I gotta be the first partaker of the food. I can't ask you to do something I'm not gonna do. So we're there every morning at 6 a.m. Just jump right on the Zoom. At 6 a.m. we usually off by 6:30. Amen. We respect for people's time. We know they gotta get ready to go to work or whatever. But we start Monday through Friday off with prayer, give you the weekends off. Also remember on Wednesday night, we are what in the book of Acts. I think we're now up to chapter 5. Amen. I think we just got through with Paul. No, not Paul. I think we were John and Peter, I think it is. But we're there in the book of Acts, and we're going chapter by chapter, line by line, and explaining the word of God in our biblical Bible study on Wednesday night. And then, of course, we'll be here on Sunday mornings. Looking forward, looking and measuring the viability to go back to our space. But we want to make sure that we're safe. I've been praying about it. Be honest, I haven't felt the release to go yet. I know a lot of you all are comfortable. I know, but don't want to get too comfortable. But we know that God has this thing under control. But people are still getting sick. Now, even there have been some reports of people with the virus, who've gotten the vaccine that's getting sick. And we want to be careful. We know we have individuals in our midst, in our congregation, that have some serious health issues. And we want to be mindful of that. You know, I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. And as your pastor, you'll never get that pressure from me. If you feel like you don't need to be there, don't be there. I'm not going to pressure you. You know, we're not going to be made or broke off that. Amen. Our church is more than that. The kingdom of God is more than that. Amen. But you take care of yourself. Amen. Amen. And I will always support that. Amen. I'd rather you be here with us until God calls you home than you go home prematurely because of my, for lack of a better word, stupidity. All right. So you won't get that kind of pressure from this ministry on me. Amen. But I love you. And I love you to life. Amen. God bless you all. Love you all. You all take care. You all continue to pray for me as I pray for you. You all enjoy your families today. Spend time with one another. I love you all. Take care. And I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye. Know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Take care.